Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 42 and 43. You can have a better death and a better life in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there is a proper way to die. God's word shows it. And there is a benefit of having that proper way to die, of knowing how to die properly. If you know you will have a proper death, you can be sure that you will have a proper life now. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are two: Christ's death guarantees a better death, and second, Christ's death guarantees a better life, one in the future and one now. Our goals are that knowing Christ's death removes your fear of death. You will let it give you confidence to live victoriously now. First of all, Christ's death guarantees a better death. Question 42 says, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die together? Our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life. For starters, you don't view death the way the world views death. Even if you were to die tragically, maybe in an accident or in a plane crash or in war, maybe you don't even die in your sleep like many people would. Even bad people die that way. But you don't see those things as horrible. You don't see death as a defeat. Yeah, we know we're going to die. Death is a reality. But when death comes, you know you are going into eternal life. So the perspective of death is different. You go to some of the funerals for other people of other religions, see the way they cry. There's often a hopelessness in the way they cry because they're uncertain of what comes after. But you must know that when you die, and why we look forward to death and we're not afraid of death, is because it puts an end to your sinning. This means you're no longer offensive to your Creator and your Recreator. You know, your Creator and Recreator would prefer that you don't sin in this life. But you will continue to sin to the day you die. You won't sin in heaven. You will be confirmed in that state of righteousness, something Adam failed to do. Remember, if he had passed the test in the garden, he would have been confirmed in righteousness and you all would be perfect. He failed, but the Lord Jesus did not fail. And therefore, after this life, you'll be confirmed in righteousness forever. Paradise will be restored because the second Adam did what the first Adam did not do. And because you will be confirmed in righteousness, you will not be able to sin anymore. You know how easy it is to sin now? Thoughts, words, actions. You sin every day. You sin coming to church. You sin going home from church. You sin while you're in church. But you won't be able to sin anymore then. See why death is so good, to have that kind of death? Because it's your entrance into eternal life. You will have no more unbelief. You'll have no more doubts. You'll have no more fears. You'll have no more temptations. There'll be no false philosophies that lure people and deceive people. Temptations of Satan will all be gone. And then ultimately, you enter into paradise. You know, there's a saying, everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. Well, it's not really Christian. When you die, you immediately pass from death to eternal life. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle Paul talks about the fact that the sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air, and so we shall forever be with the Lord. That's forever. It doesn't end. And what a wonderful thing to know. Now, what does the world say? There are some people who say, well, when you die, your soul goes to sleep. In other words, you are annihilated. That's the end of the soul. There are others who say you have to go through purgatory and get cleaned out, and eventually you will go to heaven. And especially people pray for you on earth, and you know the corruption that came in the Roman Catholic Church on account of that, where you pay money and people pray for you and say you're going to go to heaven. There are others who have some different kinds of intermediate stage between life, between death and eternity. Other people say, well, when you die, you just go from one state to another. Maybe you go into an animal, and if you are good, you will become a good person. And if you were bad, you'd become like a really no good animal, reincarnation. The way the Muslims describe it is that all will be punished, but some will not have as much punishment because maybe they weren't too bad, and then they will go to paradise. Unless, of course, you die in jihad, and then they believe you go straight to heaven if you kill others in the holy war. But look at what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. You notice what he says, has passed. What tense is that? Perfect tense. It means this is a done deal. If you believe in Jesus, that he lived and died for you, then you have already passed from death unto life. Eternal death is gone. You've gone from death to life. That's a done deal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 say together, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Ah, you see now why death is not something we panic about? Because we're always with Jesus, whether we live or die. We are his. Dying, the other hand, is a net gain. Because remember, you're going to that place where you won't be able to sin anymore. So in death, you actually gain more than you have to give up. Philippians 1:21 says together, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what we're saying about. When you die, you're freed from your troubles and trials. There's no more sickness, no more worries, no more unbearable politicians, no more unbearable issues at work. There's no COVID. No vaccine. You don't have any of those things to worry about anymore. The trials are gone. So no diseases. And you know, in heaven, you will never lose on an investment. It's always in good things. You know what happened? So many people who invested in lots of those companies back in the 90s, and then they lost everything. And even now, some companies that have fallen apart. In heaven, you never lose anymore. You would never suffer the loss of a loved one. Nobody ever dies there. That's the hardest thing. More, you wouldn't even be disappointed anymore. Sometimes you don't have physical pain, and maybe you don't lose money, but you're disappointed in the way things turn out. It will never be a bad decision. You'll never say, oh, look at how my life turned out. Look at how my husband turned out. Look at how my wife turned out. You look at the way my children are living. You'll never think that in heaven. Imagine how all of that is gone. In fact, there's a fullness of joy there. John Gill, Bible commentator wrote, he said, in heaven there will be everlasting habitations into mansions of light, life, love, joy, peace, and comfort. It is a rest, a perfect rest, and surrounded with endless pleasures. That's the word of the Lord. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to look forward? Don't you look forward for that? Doesn't it become appealing? And why is it that you're able to get this? You have a better death because the sting of death was destroyed when Jesus died. And when something doesn't have a sting, it's no longer a threat. Take the sting out of a wasp and they only look dangerous. We had one at the back there this afternoon, and you had to kill it because it still had a stinger in it. But you get rid of the stinger and it just looks dangerous. And that's what happens to death. That's why we view death differently. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57, together. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You know, when you're mocking something, that's what you can do to death because the sting is gone. You can laugh at it. Death can't lock you up in hell. Its sting has been pulled out. Now, of course, you must not try to die, as appealing as the rewards that come after death is. But you should never be afraid to die. And boys and girls, this is important. Sometimes God calls us home much sooner. I had a baby sister who died at 18 months. I had a father who died at 43. And I had a grandmother who died at 103. That's how God calls us sometimes. But we should never be afraid to die. Why? Because our sins were paid for in Jesus and we have everlasting life. But once we're alive, we should try to live. Yeah, there's no shame in death, but you've got a race to run. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, together, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. That's our goal, to finish our race with joy. So make sure, fathers, that you teach this to your children, to your spouses, that if God calls them home early, they would not be afraid, but they will be ready. And then the question comes up then, well, why would you want to live since death seems so attractive? No more troubles, no more unemployment, no more uncomfortable lives. Why not die? Well, the Apostle Paul answered that. He loved the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord through helping believers and preaching to non-believers. He couldn't do these things if he were dead. And so you too must want to serve your spouse and your children and your friends and the persecuted church. And that's why you should ask God for long life. Pray that you will live long. And when you do this, it shows you understand what true love is. What does, you know, you think about it this way. Love for yourself will say, Lord, take me home now. I don't want to hang around here. Nobody in heaven wants to come back to Scarborough. Nobody. But love for others, agape love, self-sacrificing love says, I would rather be here to serve the Lord and to help his people and to preach the gospel and speak up for those who are suffering for their faith. Let's read Philippians 1:23-24 together. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And that's what drove him. And he says, I can wait for heaven. Oh, it's wonderful. But I got work here. I got work here. So we come to our second point. We learn first, Christ's death guarantees that you will have a better death. You can die in confidence and leave this world and go to heaven and receive the blessings that are there. No, you have to wait. You can't hurry it up. You have to wait on God's timing. So no euthanasia, no murder, none of that. But once you wait for that time, and you know that's been taken care of, you will have that good death, it also tells you that you will have a better life now. Christ's death guarantees you a better life. Question 43, what further advantage do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross? Together, through Christ's death, our old selves are crucified, put to death, and buried with him, so that the evil desires of the flesh may no longer rule us, but that instead we may dedicate ourselves as an offering of gratitude to him. You see the result there. We dedicate ourselves as an offering of gratitude to him. So Christ gives you victory over sin and death because you were in him spiritually when he died. Because of this, in this life now, you have renewed strength to kill sin and its desires. You can count yourself as having been liberated, and you have the victory, and it's already with you now. Romans 6, 8 through 11. Together, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we were in him when he died. We're in him when he was raised up. We're in him now that he is living. And we too are called to live for him in this life. Dying to sin means that you no longer live for yourself, but you separate yourself from sin and you live righteously. Of course, how did the victory come? It came at a great price, the price of Christ's blood. It was free for you, but it wasn't for him. And the thing is, it was necessary because God could not pay for your freedom with gold, as precious as that is, or diamonds, or money of any sort. He could only pay for it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And look at this passage from Psalm 49, verses 6 through 9. Together, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for it. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. This is the same thing that Peter says. We are not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's the costliness of it. And as a result of that redemption, you never have to spiritually die again. Jesus died once for all. So much, of course, for those who believe that you can be a Christian one day and then you're not a Christian another day. They don't understand eternal life. They don't understand the work of Jesus, the richness of what he did, because when he paid the price, you were saved forever. And so much for Roman Catholics who believe that they have to kill Jesus every day in the anti-Jesus Roman Catholic Mass to atone for sins. He died one time for all times. Doesn't have to be killed every day. There's no sacrificing of Jesus, as they argue. And now because of your freedom that Jesus secured for you, you're now able to live your life for God. You live to please him. You can worship him. You can speak to him. You can listen to him. You can speak for him. That's how we are called to live. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says together, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now we are in that position of being able to live that better life, having been redeemed, knowing that the end of life has been taken care of. And the more you live, the more you're able to kill sin. And the more you're able to bring glory to God. And the greater will be the blessing you'll receive in this life and in the life to come. That's how wonderful Christ's death is for you. So let me ask you this. How's your killing? How's your mortifying sin? You've been strengthened again. You've been equipped. You're able to fight. How's your killing? You know, as we heard already today, it's not joining the church. It's not even being on a committee in church or having some position in the church or playing music in the church. None of those things. It's the work of Jesus and how you continue to live that pure life by killing sin. Romans chapter 12, we read about verse 2 earlier. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 now. Together, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You present yourselves now to God. That's your life. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, together, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. That's what characterizes your life now. What's that walk of love? It's sacrificing yourself for God. It's sacrificing yourself for your neighbor. It's keeping the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? You will obey my commandments. Love is obedience to the law. That's what God expects from us. When you now live as a Christian, you're not only able to please God again, but you're also able to wait, and you're able to save up for that better reward in heaven. I have a quote from Anastasius. He wrote a long time ago, now that the common Savior of all has died on our behalf, we who believe in Christ no longer die, as men died before, in fulfillment of the threat of the law. That condemnation has come to an end, and now that, by the grace of the resurrection, corruption has been banished and done away, we are loosed from our mortal bodies in God's good time for each, so that we may obtain thereby a better resurrection. In Christ, we have that better resurrection. Now, this may fit in a little bit with what came before, but this is the liberation that we know in this life, and we can live a better life. Now, if you don't live your life for God now, and you let your evil desires rule over you, you'll have to bear the consequences. The Apostle Paul warned about falling into this trap, a trap that robs you of the joy you ought to have now as a Christian, but is missing. Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14 say together, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're no longer under the judgment. We know what's coming. Life everlasting. Life in heaven. You're under grace now. So you can live your life in a way that will honor God. The ability has been restored to you. The big matters have been resolved. Of course, the Christian life can become miserable if you fall and remain in sin. You could lose hope sometimes. You could hide yourself from God's people. You will feel helpless. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you've got to keep your guard up. Keep remembering the work of Jesus Christ, how you have not, it's not that you will have eternal life, it's that you have eternal life. You have already passed from death to life. And if you forget that, it will affect every aspect of your life now. You'll feel overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the troubles that are around you, with your family, with your job, with your church, with your country. And there are lots of problems around. But if you know the big issue has been resolved, you can stand up for God in a time of challenge. And that's your guard. It's the message of Christ at the cross. Let's conclude. Now, as the redeemed of God through Jesus Christ, know that when you die in your body, you will go to heaven and cash in the capital and the interest you've accrued in this life. There you will enjoy the fullness of joy, and you'll be freed from troubles and trials that are so common and overwhelming in this life. Knowing that, you can live this life in freedom from worries, knowing that the big matter of eternity has been taken care of. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't be afraid of physical death. Boys and girls, don't be afraid of physical death. The sting has been removed. You can face death whenever it comes, whether you are 5 or 100 years old. And when you die, you're simply entering into your Father's home. That's not a bad place to be, is it? In fact, it's the most wonderful place you could ever be. So death is not so scary. In fact, it's not scary at all. While you remain here, live a good life today, because you have a heavenly inheritance, an eternal inheritance. Sin and death no longer have power over you. Go about, do the work the Lord has called you to do now. Fight sin now. Kill it. Kill sin. You have the strength. You have God's word. You have God's spirit. You have God's people around you to encourage you and support you. And you're able to be successful. And more than that, you know, when you fight sin now, those are counted as reward points in heaven that no one can take away. You will have the riches stored up in heaven. But while you continue in this life, there is that other kind of battle you must deal with. You must learn to die another death. Die to sin daily. Don't let sin rule you. Mortify it and live in victory. This is the only way you can live in victory, by continuing in righteousness and fighting against wickedness. And finally, if you're not a Christian, death must be a terror to you. There is life after death, of course, but yours will be a life full of misery, the tortures of hell forever. And what do you have now? All you have is this world. Maybe you've got some money, maybe you've got some fame, maybe you've got some power, but it'll all be gone in a little while. Job talks about that. Solomon talked about that, how quickly things go. Only the one who relies upon the Savior and asks for new life will enjoy eternal life with the treasures that have been accrued in this world. Do you want the Savior? I hope you do. The benefits of his works are free to all who sincerely ask. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been reminded again that we can face death because Jesus faced death for us. And because our death has been taken care of, we now can live victoriously. We can fight against sin and kill it. And in so doing, we not only have your blessings in this life, but we accrue wealth in heaven that none can take away. I'll be yours, ours to enjoy for eternity. So help us, Lord, to continue that fight. And where we've been lazy, that we will take up the weapons, the spiritual weapons that you've given to us to fight and win. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.